Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, Sports City, it's already going down in the green room, so we ain't gonna waste too much time right here. I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to catch a timeless is alive.
New York, ha, Jersey, ha, Philly, Baltimore, DC, Virginia, ha, Atlanta, everybody, rock!
Okay. In the words of Busta Rhymes, the call number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or more locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. I'm feeling some type of way, even though it hasn't been going down pretty good. The elements have actually been bothering me, but I got to deal with it. The weather is trying to hold your boy down. I'm here, though. But along with me is my big brother and my co-host for this morning, Arkeezy, a.k.a. Royce King. Welcome to the cafe. How are you feeling this morning?
A.k.a. the Royce Report. I'm feeling good, Thomas. I'm happy to be here with you, brother, doing what we do. Let's make it happen.
Okay. Unless people were under a rock or just not paying attention to what's going on in the cafe or just not paying attention to what's taking place in an arena near you. Well, it's not near me. It's across the country because I'm on the East Coast. And I'm letting the dogs out. I'm out the gate with it. Okay. I don't even know how to like get to top, but I'm gonna just get pushed in my back. I want to call it like the nightmare in Oracle or the debacle in the Oracle or whatever. But Golden State had a very interesting matchup last night, prime time matchup also, in which the Memphis Grizzlies, a.k.a. grind season, however you want to put it together, came here, and it sets up for an interesting matchup. They go into the Oracle. The Warriors jump out to an enormous lead. An enormous lead. At one point, they had a 24-point lead on this Memphis Grizzlies team, went into the fourth up 19. They somehow managed to get back into the game to tie it up to force overtime, and in the overtime they actually won by 9. Now, in which we actually seen a possession by the Golden State Warriors and where Draymond Green was not happy with what was going on offensively. They got 2 different offensive rebounds in that possession and still came away with a very long-range 3-point shot, and none of them fell, in which Memphis ended up getting the rebound. The timeout was called, and Draymond went to the sidelines, and you could see the frustration within Draymond addressing the team. Knowing that this happened on their home floor, knowing that this could actually either A, I don't want to say break. I got to find another situation. I could say push them even further or start to see some questions arise on what's going on. But the one thing that I saw within this team was the defensive prowess. I don't want to say lack thereof, even though I really want to, because they were really attacking the interior, whether it was Draymond in a mismatch trying to be Z-Bo or Mark Gasol, or if KD was stuck down there in front of Z-Bo and he got caught down there a couple times and Z-Bo was having his way, in which you had three of the big three in Memphis. Let me turn it around. I want to get away from the big three that's in, or the big four, I should say, the big four in Golden State, get away from them, but talk about the big three in Memphis, in which you had 27 from Conley, you had 27 from Z-Bo, and you had 23 from Gasol, right? these guys put up an electric game up against one of the league's best. Royce, does this turn around the season for the Grizzlies, one? And two, your thoughts on Golden State working on their defensive prowess? We all know that this – I don't think this will hurt their season. I think this is just one loss of the probably single-digit losses that they probably will attain. They'll probably get as much as 11 or 12 losses on the season. But this is just one that people get to raise their eyebrows about. Your thoughts on the matchup last night?
Well, I don't see it where the Grizzlies really need to turn their season around. I mean, they're sitting at 23-16, and they are now 10-9 on the road. And the Warriors boast a 31-6 record, 16-3 at home. So they just suffered their third defeat at home, epic fail, if you will, a total collapse. You're talking about having, you know, a home court advantage. You give up 32 points in the fourth quarter, only score 13. That allowed in overtime, forced by the Grizzlies and their outstanding play, obviously. And then you don't respond. Again, you got your home crowd. You have the Oracle crowd. Where's the six-man energy that you're supposed to draw and get? But look, there was an obvious momentum shift. I think it could be seen, it may have actually even been tangible given the end result. So, you know, I'm willing to say, look, if you can't respond in the fourth quarter and then you come out in overtime and you only put up 8 points and allow your opponent to drop 17, well, that's how you arrive at a 128-119 beating of the Golden State Warriors by the Memphis Grizzlies. So, look, this Grizzlies team, man, is pretty solid, and they've been that all season. I mean, they're trying to get guys back right in terms of, you know, healthy, in terms of Chandler Parsons, probably his best game in since his, I guess you call it, semi-return. He's been struggling as of late, still only played 16 minutes. But to get double-doubles from Mike Conley, Tony Allen, and Zach Randolph, quality contributions from Troy Daniels, double figures in limited minutes. This team is well-coached, is hands down right now. We're talking coach of the year is hands down Coach Fizdale, in my opinion. He's come to this team. He wanted to, you know, change the style of play a little bit. He knows where his bread is buttered in terms of Mike Conley, Mark Gasol, and Zach Randolph. He's given Mark the freedom to shoot the three ball. Even though he was 0-for-2 last night, he still has that type of freedom. They play through him. And he's pushing the envelope when it comes to Michael Conley. He is really pushing Mike Conley to get out of his comfort zone, because this is a kid that – I watch here in Indiana. He's always been pass first. He's always been the consummate teammate, okay? A throwback point guard to the old days. But that's not the NBA today for the point guard position. And Michael Conley is responding to Coach Fizdale, and he is putting up respectable numbers. You talk about one of the most underrated point guards. Well, he's not underrated this year. He made news. Why? Because he had the heftiest contract received in the offseason. So he made the news. So there's a lot of expectation. I feel like he's living up to it to the best of his abilities. He's got this team still winning at a high level. And they pulled off a magnanimous win last night. So kudos to the Grizzlies, man. I'm not surprised by anything they're doing. Those guys are built for tough, if you will, and they're going to be solid throughout the remainder of the season, Thomas.
Why don't we say Chevy like a rock? I got a Chevy, so let's say they built like a rock because they grind it out. Crazy. I want to, like, kind of use how things were worked out in this game. And some coaches get away with it when they come up with a scheme. Knowing that you could go to, like, one or two players to try and kill you and kind of shut down the rest, they actually let Steph – well, not to say let, but Steph had a 40-point night. Kevin Durant had 27 points on the evening. Everybody else was basically held in check. I want to say held in check. I don't want to say shut down, but held in check. In which Kevin Durant's 27, the numbers look better than what it looked like on the floor, actually. Kevin Durant had a bad night last night, including some a stint where he missed three straight free throws, and he did not make a three-point shot at all last night, in which it was not like he was taking contested threes. He was taking wide-open three-point shots and was missing all night. But he still – this is the Kevin Durant that people know, that he could shoot under 20 shots a night and still get 30 or close to 30 in 13 of his 27, in which came from the free-throw line. So he didn't have a great night, but he still put up damn near 30, so that's acceptable. Is this the way to try and – try your way to defeat the Golden State Warriors, if you will? Like, let one or two of these guys feel like they can win this game, play hero ball, and try to shut down the rest of the team. I know you're not going to be able to get this because those shots will present themselves within the game, but being able to slow down Draymond having six shots on the evening, Klay Thompson had a 17-shot night and finished with 17 points also, in which where he only made two threes on the night, too. He was struggling from the three-point line as well, where we know he can get hot at any given moment. Your thoughts on you know, grinding it out, forcing the ball to the interior, in which they had JaVale McGee get off the floor, they had Pachulia get off the floor, Draymond Green fouled out. These things actually work for Memphis, working inside-out type of basketball.
Well, Thomas, look, I'm just going to ask some questions here. How is it that you can think that as a head coach, the coaching staff, why would you scheme a game where you only get bench production from Andre Iguodala, who is essentially your fifth starter?
Right.
Now, given the matchup, we know Golden State likes to go small a lot of times. But this could be a matchup problem for Memphis. For Golden State going forward. I'm not saying that it will. I'm not saying Memphis, you know, has their number or anything like that. But what I'm looking at is the breakdown of the minutes played. You're getting 40 minutes from Draymond, 43 from KD, 42 from Steph, 42 from Klay, 30 from Pachulia, who doesn't normally play 30 minutes a game, okay? And then you got 27 from Iguodala. After that, you're looking at 16 from Sean Livingston, 11 from David West, 5 minutes from McGee, 3 minutes from McCall, and 6 minutes from Ian Clark. So what we have here is a lack of a bench. That's what we're seeing. I mean, you had to have 40 from Curry. Just saw us 128-119. If Curry only does his season average, I mean, Memphis runs away with this completely. All right? There has to be some changes. But maybe they can't afford changes. Maybe management got it wrong, Thomas. Maybe you don't give up a team. Because anytime you give up, what was it, like 8 or 9 guys, their bench, they let walk out the doors. For one guy, maybe no one guy can equal 9. I mean, last I checked, 9 is more than 1 all day, every day. And I don't care what his talent base is. I mean, and given the fact that you had a pretty good recipe the last couple of seasons, and the season prior to, you put up historic numbers in terms of wins and losses, the most in NBA history, the most wins in a single season during the regular season. And then you come back with this type of performance, this type of decision-making in terms of how you're going to disperse minutes when people are constantly talking about the need for rest. Can the Golden State Warriors rest Kevin Durant? Can they rest Steph Curry? Can they rest Klay Thompson? I think not. If you're not going to get anything from your bench, they cannot rest. I don't know what the answer is in Golden State, but I do have questions.
That is very interesting, Royce. I'm glad that you actually turned it around because I was more or less looking at how do you attack Golden State. Instead, you made me look at it, how does Golden State move forward into this 82-game season? I had to, now it's like I have to look at Golden State. looking at the pieces that they lost from the team last year, which with 73-9, the best regular season that we've ever seen, this team could potentially threaten that. In which, you know, I don't feel a certain type of way about what LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love, and players that have the comfort zone able to do that, to be able to sit out a game or two here or there, whatever their team presents. Because they do have players that can come in there and make a difference. You see what I'm saying? Looking at this Golden State team, I would be puzzled on how Kerr would actually put this together. You see what I'm saying? Like how would Kerr actually be able to rest these guys? Where Kevin Durant, I love him. I can't even sit up here and act like I don't. I feel the type of way with him going to Golden State because of the team that I love. But Kevin Durant always wants to play that 37 to 40-minute type of ball game. Looking at this Golden State team, they are going to have to play all of them are going to have to play that 37 to 40-minute type of ball game. They can actually run themselves out into the postseason. And I don't even want to push that conversation on where they stand in the postseason because everybody here knows, or at least myself, I think that they'll probably be in the Western Conference Finals or better until we can find a team that can slow them down consistently within a 7-game series. But outside, just like Roy said, outside of the starting five, Iguodala will probably be the only player that I look to get production. I am a David West fan, but there's something about David West on the floor now that he's not consistent. I don't think he can give you more than 15 points on a night where he needed like that. I think that's a push by me asking for 15 out of him. Sean Livingston can create a shot, but I don't know how much you're going to get out of him if they need a necessity of points out of him. I think it'd be a lot of pressure on him, in which if they did rest some of these players, I think Golden State will lose some of those games. I do. I'm not saying this to pick on them as they're down right now, but this is the truth. And actually, I was presenting this on how do you stop Golden State because this is just one loss, like I said. But Roy's made me look at it in a different scenario. Now it sets up a different tone of a question.
Well, here's something else to look at. Did they lose this game due to arrogance? Again, the bench, man, not in foul trouble. No one had more than two fouls. Their bench personnel, no one had more than two personal fouls. Two by David West, two by Iguodala, two for Sean Livingston. McGee and Patrick McCall each had one. Ian Clark, in 6 minutes, committed zero fouls. I mean, he's got zeros all across the board. He's 0 for 1, and then this is just a goose egg. So he was 6 minutes of what? Just out there? Okay. So the rest of the team, no one's in major foul trouble except for Draymond Green, who fouled out in 40 minutes of play. You're talking two players with one. KD had one personal foul all night. Klay Thompson, one personal foul all night. Three by Pachulia, two by Steph Curry. Maybe nobody wanted to get physical, Timeless. Maybe nobody wanted to be aggressive. Maybe you should have committed a foul somewhere. I don't know. I'm just posing questions, trying to figure out what I'm supposed to believe or not so much believe. How should I, you know, view this Golden State Warrior team going forward? As a team that just says, hey, we are so good. We know we're so good. So we're going to take an occasional loss, and we don't care how we take it, but we're going to lose, and we're just going to, I don't know, fool you. You can't believe what your eyes see. I don't know. I'm asking questions, man, because I can't believe that these NBA players, the bench personnel, couldn't contribute anything in this contest after the starters did such a good job for the most part through three quarters.
In which it was interesting on what Zeebo said at the end of the game. He said, we match up very well with them, in which it was true, especially, and it's easy for me to say right now, especially on how things went down in the fourth quarter going into overtime. They got outscored a total of 28 points from fourth quarter on. 28 points. In which, just like you said, maybe pick up a foul here or there. I think they were more or less trying to take the ball off from underneath the net and get the ball back on the offensive side of the ball and try to play that can you stop us type of basketball. And the only one that really had a storm of a game was Curry. So looking at the way Tony Allen did his thing in the fourth quarter, I'm going to tell you this, people. I want you guys to watch out for this matchup down the road whenever they play again. Whenever I don't know how the schedule permits. I'm going to look into the schedule now. Whether Golden State is on the road in Memphis or if Memphis comes right back to the Oracle, because it is going to be on. And I know Golden State will probably play their best breed of basketball, because at the end of the game, not only was he talking junk, but Tony Allen went to the Steph Curry. He left Durant, went to Steph Curry. The team went to come help. He waved them off, said, "I got him, I got it, I got it." Forced Steph to shoot a bad shot. And he was running around saying, "First team all defense." You know what I'm saying? Like, and shushing the crowd. And while they were shooting free throws, he was in Steph Curry's ear talking junk. You could tell Steph wanted to say something and couldn't. You know, so it's like this could be a little bit of a rivalry, especially the way that they were actually impacting the game, forced their will on them, and they didn't have an answer in the paint. Marc Gasol was doing what he wanted, whether he wanted to shoot a jump shot or made these guys come out to try and contest. He would dribble to the rim and get them to be basically against their, you know, imbalance trying to D him or get back to the rim to protect it, and he would score that way. And Z-Bo, whether it was Draymond behind him or it was KD, they could not defend him at all. And to paint Z-Bo, I tip my hat for you to come up with damn near 30 off of the bench. I tip my hat. I salute Z-Bo right now. But this is going to be an interesting matchup moving forward. And this has always been an interesting matchup with Kevin Durant and Tony Allen. And I'll say that Tony Allen shut Durant down, because Durant damn near had 30, so that's a good night. But this is something to watch. To me, I definitely, the next time that they meet up, I'm getting my popcorn ready. I am getting my popcorn ready. That is something that I am concerned about. But just like you spoke on with Chandler Parsons trying to work his way back in, his health issues are a question. I know that they try to get Vince Carter back in here as well. Vince didn't contribute much, you know, in the scoring scheme of things. But just him out there and forcing the effort defensively, I think, actually pushed the envelope for everybody else to feed off of. And they got them right back in the game. And Mike Conley, whoa. He's the one that forced the overtime. The Warriors were up two. They switched Draymond. Yeah, it does make sense. It's either Clay or Draymond in this manner. So they switched Draymond on him. He basically got Draymond to actually, you know, overstep the defense, and he hit the shot to force overtime. So that's one thing in itself. But moving forward, though, Royce, your thoughts on this, and we'll get away from this game because this is a heavy plate. I love it.
Look, that's really it for me. It's still January. You know, it was still just January 6th. So both teams are the couple of the better teams, obviously, in the Western Conference tournament. So going to expect and look forward to how the season shakes out. Like you said, it's going to be good to keep an eye on this matchup for the remainder of the regular season. And if it leads to some type of second-round matchup, or, you know, wow, what if this was a Western Conference matchup? Who knows? But if they should, you know, meet up in the postseason, this could be a pretty good chess match between Steve Kerr and Coach David Fizdale. So that's really all I have on this game, Thomas.
Okay, moving forward. Now, I don't know how to feed you right now, because either dish I go with, one is going to be comfort food, the other one is going to be not as much comforting, but I did like how the dish was set up. I'll do the one, the uncomfortable situation, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers and the game that they played last night up against the Celtics, in which they lost the game, and I'm not expecting much out of the Sixers, as we thought. But Joel Embiid is getting more minutes on the floor, even has fans in Boston. This game took place in Boston. The crowd was screaming, "Trust the process," because the way the guy was going off within the game, going to the lane, dugging on dudes, shooting shots, playing defense. Joel Embiid is putting it together. Royce has been talking about this storm for the past 2 years, people. Hoping for him to get out there on the floor. And for him to be my big brother, I'm not going to lie, I really want to see this team fully constructed as they have been put together throughout the draft, a.k.a. Ben Simmons being on the floor and everybody else, Noel, and, you know, if Okafor could give him something. I mean, Okafor, he's questionable at times. It bothers me compared to his college first year compared to him being into the pros and him not really giving the big output that I thought that he could put out there. However, Joel Embiid is Philadelphia's his team, period. Period. I could care less on what Ben Simmons is going to come into the league and do. I know that he's going to be great. He can potentially be the next LeBron with their all-time force the issue right now. But right now, this is Joel Embiid's team. Your thoughts on the Sixers, I don't even want to say the process. I just want to say as they move along, and I'm not going to say that they're going to storm in and get four wins here, six wins here. Just looking, it's fun to watch them play, especially with Embiid getting comfortable with what the defense is giving him.
Absolutely, man. You know, the best thing about the Philadelphia 76ers right now is that we have a healthy Joel Embiid. As a Philly fan right now, or anybody who remembers the historic teams of the Philadelphia 76ers, and if you're a real fan of basketball, you're just excited to see a talent like Joel Embiid out there on the basketball court right now. You don't care about wins and losses. It's about the talent, because right now we're still working on figuring out exactly who will be the core. And when I say core, I mean those pieces that are going to remain and absolutely have their life's blood and hand in bringing a championship to Philadelphia. That still remains to be seen for a lot of guys who are currently on this roster. But the foundation piece right now absolutely is Joel Embiid. I know a lot of people are excited about what Ben Simmons will eventually bring to the table. But, you know, Thomas, I said, like, been saying it probably like the last 3.5 to 4 seasons, man, the return of the big man is upon us. He may appear different than the golden days of always being, you know, with his back to the basket, never venturing out on the perimeter beyond 12 to, you know, 15, 16 feet. But now you got a big man who can, you know, shoot the three ball, put it down, get to the hole from the top of the key, play with their back to the basket and defend the paint, rebound at a high level and all that good stuff. While there's still, you know, a lot of talk about the point guards. But Joel Embiid is a special talent. As a Sixers fan, I'm super excited to have him, to witness his exploits. And here's the thing, Thomas. He's still just learning. Like, he's still just scratching the surface. He is so much that he has not figured out about the NBA game. I cannot wait to discuss Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers 4 seasons from now. Sheer dominance, changing of the guard.
Sorry.
Like, those are the things that we'll be discussing 4 seasons from now. A changing of the guard and the dominance of Joel Embiid and whoever's in tow. Because you said one thing that I absolutely agree upon, and I know others may disagree because of Ben Simmons, but the Philadelphia 76ers are Joel Embiid's team, hands down,
right,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's his team.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what Ben Simmons' talent is or says. When you talk about leadership, a lot of times the guy, what they say, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Joel Embiid is charismatic. He is outspoken. He's fun-loving. He has a fan base. Okay, before he ever set foot on the court and played a game that mattered for the 76ers, he's all anybody could talk about. Everyone was just like awaiting him on the court in uniform. Let's see what he could do. I'm hearing all this stuff. I'm seeing this video. Yeah. And now you're seeing it. Now we are witnessing the process. So we can call him Trust the Process. We can call him Joel Embiid. You can call him JE21. It doesn't matter. Enjoy it. That's all I'm saying. Let's just enjoy what's happening in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid and the rest of the 76ers.
I'm going to say this. Ever since I was a kid, you know, when I was a kid, the song Basketball came out by Curtis Blow, and he was saying his favorite part was the alley-oop, right? I don't know if people, y'all might not have listened to the song or whatever,
Google,
but I love
Google,
that.
Google.
I got you. You know what I'm saying? I got you. But in which I'm a fan of the dunk. I'm a fan of the dunk. You know what I'm saying? Even though now that I got older, I respect the three. I respect the jump shot. I'm a grown man. I don't need to bang with y'all too much. I can shoot. You see what I'm saying? There was a play where Embiid went to the lane and dunked on every single Celtic jersey possible in the paint, including Jay Crowder, who was underneath him. Jay Crowder on the basketball floor just for the evening. I won't say for life or in your career. Rest in peace on that play. If you did, Royce, if you see that dunk, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did McDonald be? I am a fan now.
Did they play the Maxwell music for him, Timeless? Did they play the
Maxwell music for him?
May the spirit rise. May the spirit rise.
Oh, my goodness.
He's going to glory now. He's going to glory.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Joel Embiid, I am a fan. I am watching. You better thank your captain here, Royce Arkeasy, the Royce Report King. Look, if it wasn't for, look, I've been watching you since Kansas. I'm not going to say I haven't. I watched you when you had the goggles. When you had the goggles. So hey, I've been watching you. But I didn't expect this in the league. I didn't expect this. But this is great. This is great. They did come up short. He had a 23-8 night. And he actually told the team that he wanted to defend Isaiah Thomas on one possession, and he did. So he's a big man and wants to be a guard that's going off. That's going off. Isaiah Thomas has been going off. I do want to try to get to him if we can. I don't know if we will. Now let me feed him some good dishes for City. I want to feed my brother, make sure that he's all right. Now here goes some comfort food. And this is actually somewhat comforting for me, even though I'm a little bitter on what took place Thursday night. James Harden and these Houston Rockets. Now, Royce already came to us at the beginning of this season, before the season began, and spoke on the emerging situation of the Houston Rockets in this season, who could potentially be one of the top four, I think he said three possibly, in the Western Conference. People, you better listen to what is being cooked in this kitchen, because the Rockets are right now on a 7-game winning streak, in which the Thunder were in part of this Thursday, where it came down to the wire. Kevin Russ went back and forth, and I'm not even going to go in. Well, we can get into that. They did come up with a win last night, 193 up against the Magic. I don't really feel like there's much there. James Harden had a very slow start, but he ended up capitalizing late, and they took care of the Magic. Royce, I do want to talk about the Rockets in general, or if you want to talk about the 7-game streak in the aura of how they're getting it done. They're shooting the ball at an alarming clip of people that are playing the Houston Rockets. Let me tell you something. Defend the three-point line. I know it's hard to be Harden. He has an electric first-step crossover. It's hard to be in, and he's left-handed. You're not used to being him to go right, you know, to try to force him right, but he's comfortable to go with either hand. So Harden is a whole other issue. Harden is one of the MVP contenders right now. But to try and beat this Rockets team, defend the three-point line. Even Patrick Beverley had a 17-point night last night. Look, Anderson's going to shoot. Gordon's going to shoot. Aries's going to shoot. James Harden, I mean, what else does he do other than the Euro step and get to the lane and force the free throws? He's going to shoot. You guys have to defend the three-point line. I don't know how you guys are going to do it. Mike D'Antoni, I don't know how to apologize. Like I feel bad that I have to sit here and apologize, but I was talking junk for years, especially when you were in New York. When you were in Phoenix, I was like, oh, well, Nash ain't that great. I was like, Nash a good player, but he ain't great. As soon as he gets a point guard that can score, he's a hell of a coach. He has hard to play this type of ball right now. It's looking like a world of a switching between Kevin McHale and D'Antoni right now. Okay, so Royce, your thoughts on the food that you gave us the recipe for, now it's being cooked here in the cafe.
Oh, brother, look, Thomas, I appreciate, man, the kudos, but I think Stevie Wonder saw this coming, okay? Stevie saw it coming. He heard the names D'Antoni and James Harden, and he even saw 15-3 at home, 14-6 on the road, 6-3 in the division, 20-6 in conference play, 8-2 over their last 10, current 7-game win streak, blazing hot Houston Rockets. And it begins with Mike D'Antoni and James Harden. As they go, so goes this Rocket team. So goes this Rocket team. James Harden has absolute freedom to do what he wants to do. This Houston Rockets team actually has, in my opinion, finally, the right personnel around James Harden. Guys who can knock down shots, run the floor, big men who are not going to complain about their touches or lack thereof, still defend the paint at their highest level possible, okay? Finish on the alley-oop dunks. They're going to get lobs. James is going to draw plenty of attention. So, you know, Clint Capella's out. He's not healthy right now. But young players, Montrezl Harrell contributing. You got the old man, Nene Hilario, contributing. You got guys like Ryan Anderson doing what he does. What's that? Knock down three-point shots. Trevor Ariza, what do you do, Trevor? Oh, I knock down three-point shots. Eric Gordon, what's your job? I knock down three-point shots. And Patrick Beverley, I make the occasional three-point shot, but I'm tenacious pit bull defense. Game in, game out. It doesn't matter. I'm in your jersey. Sam Decker, oh, yeah, I'm just a hot rookie. Yep.
He's the X factor.
Well, he has to be. I mean, he's 6'9", there's no pressure. I mean, it's a beautiful rookie campaign situation to be in right now. I mean, he wasn't able to play in his initial rookie season due to health, but now here he is. He's contributing. And he only has to do little things and get better game by game. That's it. You don't have to do any heavy lifting. They got guys in the pecking order that are supposed to, you know, get this team wins. Decker, like you said, is an X factor. So as he grows and develops, his contribution is welcome. Same with, Tyler Ennis is starting to get some playing time. Corey Brewer, in my opinion, is still kind of like finding his way. It's not an ideal system for Corey and his skill set, but he's still a guy that he's going to be a true professional, man. He's going to defend. He's going to make the occasional three-point shot and just find ways to try to contribute to his team's success. So they have something special brewing there in Houston right now. And, I'm still super excited about what this team is going to do in the postseason.
I want to say this to Royce because before he got out there, because he only played 3 games last year, but I was telling Royce before that draft that Sam Decker was a problem. I was telling him that, and then he had that storm in that tournament as he got to the Final Four, and then he got to the league. Didn't really see much of him last year. But now that everything is being orchestrated with what D'Antoni is getting out of him, whoa. Just like you said, no pressure. He comes off the bench, and it's like people don't understand. This is like originally like his rookie season, if you will. He played 3 games last year, but like is that experience? I don't really call that experience, but hey, this is second year, ideally. But man, does he contribute? And he's a mismatch for a lot of teams going up against him. He cuts. He can dribble. He can shoot. And he can lead. He can get off his feet. It's big for what they contribute. And now what Royce was hitting on everybody that's out there shooting, if they can get Eric Gordon to stay out there healthy throughout this season, this is going to be crazy. They're just as tough offensively. People are going to get mad with me saying this, but I don't care. I'm in the kitchen. I'm here to cause heat. I'm here for the flame. Just as difficult to defend as Golden State Warriors. I'm sorry. If somebody feels some type of way, I'm not sitting here saying that they're better than the Warriors. I feel like they can beat the Warriors. If they play a good game, yes, they can contend and beat the Warriors in a game. I'm not saying in a full seven-game series. It would be interesting if they did meet up. Probably could end up being the Western Conference Final if it does pan out like that. But they are just as difficult to defend offensively as the Golden State Warriors. They have four people that are ready to shoot right now. Right now. Mike,
Thomas, quick question. Question for you. Eric Gordon, is he a Western Conference All-Star this season with his performance, his play?
Yes, he is. It's tough for me to say because ideally the fans won't vote for him because that's how they get All-Stars in, if I'm not mistaken. The fans have to vote.
That's the starters. But his peers, I mean, you know, the coaches, I want to say they made some adjustments in terms of the voting this season. Or maybe in the years to come, I might be mixing that up with the new CBA, some of the stuff that I read. But with his play this season and all that he's battled in terms of his career, in terms of health, and overcoming that, to be able to put up numbers where he's averaging 4 threes a game. Now, prior to Steph Curry doing that stuff a couple seasons ago where he's averaging 3, 3.5, then last year, he was basically averaging 5 threes a game. For Eric Gordon to do it, given his health history, I think you have to reward him this year with an all-star berth because he's been phenomenal. He's been phenomenal.
Him, and there's another 2-guard in the Western Conference who somebody that I was speaking with outside of the kitchen told me to realize what he's doing. And I wasn't really looking at how he was getting the job done in the Western Conference, but it really made me pay attention to him as a shooting guard in the NBA. And I'm going to fall away from the Rockets right now, I guess, since I get to bring this topic up. With you throwing Eric Gordon's name out there in Western Conference All-Star appearance, potentially, is J.J. Redick a top 10 shooting guard in the NBA? That was the question that was thrown at me.
Okay. How is he not a top 10 shooting guard in the NBA? I mean, given the modern era of the NBA and the role of the shooting guard, I mean, really, essentially, most shooting guards now, look, all we need to do is be fairly solid on defense and be a marksman, be a sniper. It's not the throwback 2 guards where you got to be an all-out assassin, you know, MJ. You know, I call it back to Andrew Tony, a.k.a. the Boston Strangler. So, Mitch Richmond, guys like that. I mean, it's not a lot of, you know, 2 guards that really get it done off the bounce, get into the lane, and get to the free throw line a ton. Those 2 guards have morphed into the point guard. Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Derrick Rose, when he was really at his best. Practically anybody who's doing it at the point guard position is playing with 2-guard, shooting guard mentality of the 80s.
Okay, I had to get that one out there. In which the Clippers did win last night in the capital of California, beating the Sacramento Kings 106-98. In which, like I said, I had to throw JJ out there. If he could try, if fans could try to pull for him, or if it's just like you said, if his peers could pull for him to get to an All-Star game, I doubt it, especially with the guard power that they have coming out of the Western Conference. It'd be tough. It'd be tough. But it'd be interesting to see because the season that he's having this year, and him shooting with comfort off of the bounce now. Now it's not just him catching and shooting. He's shooting off the dribble now. You guys better watch out for JJ. I've been paying attention to what Redick has been doing. One of my friends told me to watch out what JJ's doing. I have to give him credit.
He's not making an all-star team, though.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
He's had better numbers. Like, if he was going to make the all-star team, he would have made it 14-15 or 15-16, you know, looking at his history. Those pretty much were his best two seasons, in my opinion. You're talking 78 games he played in. He started 78, same last year, 75 and 75, 16 points a game, talking about shooting 48% from the field. Last season, he shot 48%, not only from the field, Timeless, but he basically shot 48 from the three-point line because it was .475, and, you know, we round up. He didn't make it in. He's not going to get in, but he's still a top-10 shooting guard in this league.
Okay, in which I'm getting word outside of the kitchen. Your thoughts on John Wall as an all-star, especially in the season that he's having up until this point in the DMV area. He had a game last night where he had 18 and 18 last night also up against the Wolves, in which they won by 7. He's had a string of games where he's put together phenomenal numbers also. Your thoughts on Wall trying to keep the Wizards hovering around 500?
Well, John Wall's a no-brainer all-star, in my opinion, in the East. 21 and 13 over his last three games is average. You know, basically 4 rebounds, 2 steals, 49% from the field, 91% from the free throw line. What's not to like about John Wall? I mean, he's an outstanding talent. And one of the only things you really have to concern yourself with when it comes to anybody playing for the Washington Wizards is health. That's the issue right now. Can they be healthy? And then where do they go in the future in terms of, you know, depth and a quality bench? You know, teams are struggling, Timeless, living off of their starting five and no bench. You have to have an adequate bench if you're going to play an 82-game season, and you have no choice. If you get drafted, you sign up for the NBA, you know you're playing 82 games. Develop your bench. Develop. That means if you are a lesser-known player and you have a job to do as an NBA player, part of that job is to get your big head in the gym, not the weight room, unless you need to drop some weight or put on some weight, but in the basketball gym, put a ball in your hand, get shots up, work on your dribbles, okay, work on your defense, your lateral slides, your quicks, get in the film room, study, know what's expected of you from your teammates, those who are the elite players on your roster that are going to, you know, have to deal with the heat when the team's not winning, and just do your part. Do your part. It takes a team. But John Wall is an absolute all-star in the Eastern Conference, man. And I hope the Wizards can get their act together because they need help. Wall and Beal need help. Otto Porter's had a good season so far, but they need more help.
Shout out to Otto Porter. Shout out to Otto Porter. OP, you know I'm still with you forever and always. OPJ, that's not OB, but OPJ. Otto Porter Jr., shout out to my boy. But Gordon Todd, if he gets comfortable within this offensive system, things could actually present themselves as well. He had a good game as well going up against Cat.
He averaged a double-double. He better be comfortable.
Right. Hey, we'll see. We'll see. Because you know how Gordon Todd can fall asleep. He can fall asleep in that system. So that's the one thing that I'm concerned about. We will see. Like I said, people, at least Royce knows why I'm a big Otto Porter fan. People in, well, Sports City should know why I'm an Otto Porter fan, too. I love him.
Boy.
Okay, now, look, get off of my toe. Ow. Okay, so there's two different situations I want to talk about before we start to crawl out of this kitchen. One is the play of Isaiah Thomas. I have to. I said I wanted to. My father was a guard. I had to see the vision of a guard, but once I got taller, my father was like, get your tail in the paint, back to the basketball. I had to learn that type of ball game, so it's like I always had ball control, had to see how to get done. My father was a short guy. My father was 5'8", 5'7". Always had to have handle, but he always kept a jump shot. So looking at Isaiah Thomas doing his thing, he's 5'9", doing his thing in the league, put up a 52.9. I mean, what better? It was crazy right now. They helped beat the Sixers last night. They won by 4. It was a tough game, very interesting game. But your thoughts on Isaiah Thomas helping this Celtic team at a 22-14 clip right now in the season? I just want you specifically to speak on Isaiah Thomas, which I hope he does get an all-star appearance this season. I really do hope he gets there.
Well, look, pencil Isaiah Thomas in for his second Eastern Conference all-star berth, all right? He made it last season. There's no reason he should not make it again. I expect him to be in the all-star game once again. Another great season. Another outstanding year. The team is still doing well. And he's the catalyst. He's the absolute catalyst of this team. We talked about him. I'm trying not to repeat myself. I feel like, you know, I'm just saying it over and over again when it comes to you know, some of these players here. But Isaiah, he reminds me of Allen Iverson. It's not about the crossover. It's about the heart. It's about the mentality. It's about the determination to will his team to victory. And he's bringing it. He's bringing it. And that's really all I got on Isaiah, man. Like, I'm not going to throw his numbers out there. I mean, he's 28-6, 3 threes a game. He's solid. We all know he was the last pick in the draft when he came out. And now look at him. Just proving that all things are possible, and if you believe in yourself, and as I stated before, if you get your tail in the gym and work like a true professional, you can have what you want, man. You can have what you dream about having as far as an NBA career. I think some guys, man, their dream only went as far as being drafted, and they didn't dream about how many minutes they played or how well they contributed to their team's success. Or if they were going to make a sacrifice for the good of the team until they got their real opportunity, they would do that. Consider Isaiah Thomas. He had to sacrifice not getting starter, not being a starter while in Sacramento. Every time they gave him starter minutes, they yanked it away from him because they wanted somebody else to be their lead guard. They trade him out of there to Phoenix, saying, oh, yeah, we want to go in a three-guard rotation. We love what Isaiah brings to the table. And in less than a season, it was like, oh, no, we don't like it anymore. We lied. We got something better brewing in terms of a trade. Why don't we just send you to Boston? Well, thank God for Danny Ainge, who always wanted Isaiah Thomas there in Boston. And Isaiah's rewarding Ainge and the Celtics for their belief in him and his game. So, look, man, expect big things to keep on flowing from Isaiah Thomas. That's all I can say.
If they're listening, whatever gym Royce is talking about, which probably is the superhero gym where Isaiah goes works out, Sabaje, Chris John, Andre Roberson, I need you to go to that gym wherever Isaiah went to go work out to get his game and go work it out. I'm sorry, it's getting personal. It's getting personal, Sports City. I feel some type of way, please, Sports City. I need them to get something in their offensive game. Something. Okay. I don't know how much we have into this topic with the Cavaliers. I mean, of course, we knew that they could actually go out there and play good ball. But the Big Three combined for 85 points last night in Brooklyn up against the Nets. I really don't think there's too much there, but LeBron and Kyrie went off. LeBron had 36. Kyrie had 32. And Kevin Love capitalized with 17 to help round out the 85. They're comfortable at the right time as they're approaching the halfway mark of the season. I don't know how much you have there for Cleveland, but your thoughts on the big three. And there was a move. I don't know if you've seen this last night, but in the Nets game, Kyrie had, I think it was Hollis Jefferson, off the wing. He took three dribbles, and every step and dribble and move he made to finish at the other side of the rim with the layup probably is the best move I have seen in basketball in a while. I can't let the people talk about the Sham God. I was a diehard fan of Iverson. I'm a Hoya by law. I still love Iverson's crossover. It might be a part of that. That Iverson crossover could go in there. And one of the crossovers I always try to perfect as a kid was the killer crossover by Tim Hardaway. What Kyrie's special, man. He's special, man. Like oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, I give. I don't even praise these dudes like that. I don't. But the move that she did last night is unfair. It's unfair that people try to beat him, man. There's only one dude that can beat all of these point guards like that is Russ. And it's Russ got the energy to try and stay with these dudes. Other than that, it's nobody. They're going to be doing rollabouts, Lil Bow Wow and them, but I don't know how much you have there, and then we can start to try and close up the kitchen as well, Royce. Your thoughts on the Cavs also?
Oh, man, it's not a lot to say, Thomas. Some stories have already been written. It's all about what the Cavs do in the postseason. The regular season is just for our entertainment. As you mentioned, LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love, Big Three, putting up numbers this year, proving that, you know, it could work. And it would work. It's great to see, for the most part, these guys healthy. I know Kyrie had missed some games, so him being back on the floor, Cleveland fans are excited about that. He's good for basketball. I agree with LeBron James. I think, you know, if this guy could be healthy, the only thing that would ever keep Kyrie Irving from becoming league MVP is his health. Okay? He's got that kind of talent. So as he continues to age, preferably his body continues to, you know, mature, and he finds more durability. But, I mean, this Cavaliers team, there's nothing to say, man. There's nothing to say. They're the best team in the Eastern Conference, and they're the reigning 2016 NBA champions. I had the privilege of witnessing their greatness there in Quicken Loans Arena on January 2nd. And it's the real deal, man. It was absolutely awesome to see him live and in person at home. So that's it, man. I don't have a lot for the Cavaliers. It's just they got me out here as a Sixer fan, rocking the 2016 NBA champs hat. Look. Everybody loves the winner until your team starts winning, right?
Right. That's not right. Never. That is not in the code. Sports City, I don't condone that. Please don't think I condone that at all. No. And my Thunder, you know what I'm saying? It was, we hovering at like, what, 21-16 or something like that? No, I don't condone that, Sports City, at all. Please don't listen to that. But 21-16 is the Thunder's record right now. No,
you know
I
you're
condone
a LeBron
that.
James fan, low-key.
I love LeBron. I ain't gonna lie. I love LeBron.
You respect greatness. You respect greatness.
Look. That was before. Before he went to Miami. Then he went to Miami. It made me feel the type of way he got back home to Cleveland. The spark was there. He's a December boy. So by nature, I love LeBron. We born in the same month. So I love him. But it just bothered me that now they're unstoppable. And he got a hell of a core. And by the way. Cleveland is working out a trade to get Kyle Korver. Like, LeBron needs another gun in the roster. Really?
Yep.
They need another gun?
Load up.
A gun. Like, oh, my goodness. Like, smart. This is what you call it, Sam Presti. Pay attention to what these GMs are out there doing. They are searching to help the team, not to watch Russell try to kill himself. You'd be lucky I'm not talking about the Thunder right now. You are lucky I don't like talking about my boys. Even though I said I would this year, I will start talking about my boys, but I know that we're going to try and close up the show right now. But, Russ, I'm trying. The Samaje Christian coming off the bench to help you not working. Andre Roberson and his 1 point a game is not what an alley-oop dunk to excite the crowd. Like, come on. Like I need at least 7 points. And you're a shooting guard. Like I grew up, it just like Roy said, he's a little older, but we grew up in an era where a shooting guard meant something on the floor. like
right.
I've never heard of a shooting guard scared to shoot. Have you ever heard or seen that in your life? Ever?
No. Like, well, I'm seeing it, but I don't agree with it.
I can't
really comprehend it, but I know that's what I'm saying. But it doesn't make sense.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Like, what do you work on all off season? Are you working on defense in that sense? Like
come
you're
on,
not
bro.
Working on that shot at all?
Spending money. They spending money, bro.
Right. That's it. His free throw percentage is worse than his 3-point percentage. And you know his 3-point percentage ain't hitting. So that speaks. What? Let a coach. Man, I'm from a hood. Now I'm getting ghetto people. I'm from a hood where if we made the team, everybody, like, if I touch the ball, I'm pulling. Everybody from my neighborhood talk like that. If we touch the ball, we shooting. Period. You're in the NBA. You're getting paid millions of dollars to do this, and you have wide open threes. He'll hang on to the ball and look for an open pass. All right, I'm done. I'm leaving it alone. This is getting personal. Russ, I love you. You keep doing what you're doing. They're going to try and run you into the damn ground. Even though I'm loving the triple-double stuff that you're doing. Now, I love it. Leap International, that's me. Look, it is getting catchy all across the world. People across the world are saying Leap, okay? Understand that. I started this. Russ, keep killing.
Real
got
talk.
49 points back. Huh?
I said that's real talk. I was hearing when you first said it.
Right. He had a 49-point night up against the Rockets in which they fell 2 points short. He could have 51, but he took a crazy layup where I feel like he could have just took one more step and just dunked it and they would have been up. But that's just Russ for you. That's Russ. I'll take the good with the bad regardless. Okay, I need a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you like to promote. Also, in which the NFL playoffs start today, so I do want to hear how you feel about the picks in the games in which the Oakland Raiders play the Houston Texans. In Houston at 4, and the Detroit Lions go to Seattle up against the Seahawks at 8. I want to hear how you pick, in which Tommy had given me his picks before the show started. He's going with Houston and he's going with Seattle. Your thoughts on those games in the NFL and a plug, closeout, shout-out as we shut it down at the cafe.
Well, I'm just going to play along because I think it would be rude to not play along. But these picks are basically blind picks. I have not watched any NFL. I'm not a fan. I'm not a supporter of the National Football League. Those who follow closely here at the Crossover Cafe know exactly why. But let's see. I'll go with the Oakland Raiders. And who's in the other game?
The Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm going with the Seahawks. So Raiders
any
and Seahawks.
Any plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you like to promote as well?
Crossover Cafe, MasterChef Edition, come on back. Join us here once again next Saturday, 11 a.m. Body and Soul Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I make occasional appearances when I can get there to that. You know, we're enjoying some hip-hop, some R&B, and talking about life and all those good things and whatever, you know, we think is the topic of the day. TySlatter.com, it's the homie. So, hit me up, man, on Twitter, @VoiceReport. And thank you, Thomas, once again for having me. It's always a pleasure.
You already know how we cook, brother. But on that note, I'm going with the Raiders on the road. I'm road warriored out. I'm road warriored out. The Raiders on the road, and oh yes, everybody across the country, everybody that's following football, does not give my boys a shot in Seattle, where there is one voice screaming from the top of Connecticut, and that's me, the Maniac Psycho. Get ready, because it might go blah. How you like me now? Okay, I'm talking. That's 90s rap. That's 90s rap. Y'all might not be ready, but I'm going to knock y'all off. Okay, SportCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow. The brunch will be cooking. Hopefully, I'm 100% on these NFL picks. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
New York, Jersey, Philly, Baltimore, D.C., Virginia, Atlanta, everybody rock!
Get what's yours from out this fucker for your time run out. Get what's yours from out this fucker for your time.